Good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Stocks for the 17th day of October 2018. It is great to be back. It was great to be away. And it was great to get those messages over the last two Sundays. And particularly your messages, WhatsApps, welcome me back. It's good to be missed as well. So yes. I have a number of comments I want to make, and then obviously I want to be interacting with you once again here on Down to Brass Stacks. I've been away for some time. I think last time I was on the daytime Brass Stacks, weekday would have been July 8th. So I've been away for quite a while. But I'm back in the chair and on the air. So let's get down to brass stacks. One of the things on my mind this morning is the whole thing about banking. And these banking fees and these user fees, it is something that I think is spiraling out of control. I've heard the side of the banks. I understand the side of you, the clients and the customers. And I think there must be more communication and some more consensus on where we are going with this banking. I understand that the security, the whole idea of cybersecurity, the whole idea of the less opportunities for investment of money. But if our money, our money is causing you so much problem to secure, well, let us all just take our money then. And I am proposing to the banks, I'm proposing to you, the customers and so on, don't just call me on my personal number complaining. Don't just WhatsApp me on my personal number complaining. Don't just call the program. Let us say to the bankers, meet us halfway. Let us have a conversation. Let us come to somewhat of a consensus. Or, not irresponsibly so, but I understand the responsibility of a microphone like this. Let us propose 3 months from now, let's say, just as an example, that we have banking day. And if we cannot meet halfway, let us all take our money. If it has to come to that, it has to come to that. Because I think what is happening with fees, and I've been sent fees, I've been sent pictures and so on from you, the public. But I don't think that you need to hide in your dining rooms and the corners of bars and so on and tell me this anymore. I think it is time that we do something about this. On the other side, I'm realizing that one of the things that we've been talking about in relation to research coming to hand and where we're going with our job market, I think that evidence is being borne out now. I remember talking about a survey that I had read about 2 years ago from Bloomberg, and it spoke to the fact that 63% of the jobs that we are training for in today's world will not exist in 2030. And 83% of the jobs will be technological by 2030. Yet the syllabus for when I was in primary school remains the same. So when my daughter becomes 7, she is going to learn what I was learning. But when she goes into the job market, it will be somewhat different. We have to treat to that now. So people who were learning about typing and stenography, all of those people, look what happened now. That is just an example of how the world will progress over the next 10, 20, 30 years. I want to touch on two more things, and then, of course, I want to go to the phone lines, and that is suicides. I want to bring to Barbados in, again, a responsible way, not alarmist way. But one of the things that I'm picking up in my day-to-day work right now is an increase in suicides, suicidal thoughts, and attempted suicide. I am aware of 3 suicides for the year already. And one of the things that shocked me is I didn't even know that in Barbados. I didn't even know that. I thought all suicides were reported on the news and so on. That is not the case. I had a seminar with some young people, 36 young people last week. And when the issue of suicide came up, about 3 people knew someone who had attempted suicide and 2 persons in the room confessed to being suicidal. So I know that it is not a new trend among teens, as research has shown, but it's definitely an increase. And that is something that I think we need to flag as a society and start to make sure that we look for the signs. And finally, in relation to, I just want to flag this, in relation to the networks, on the communication networks, I had some issues this morning and I was speaking to some other people. And one of the things I realized they had the issue too, and you listening may have the issue of drop calls and also people saying, I was calling you, but it went straight to your voicemail. I missed a very important business call this morning. And it caused me to reflect. I only knew of that call because the person got hold of me in another way. But how many other calls did I miss? How many calls are you missing? Especially those of you who deal with very important calls. So my thing is, I did a little investigation and preliminary information suggests that the networks are overloaded. It means they take on more customers than their cell towers can handle. And the call is discontinued at the cell tower. I just put in that preliminary information out there. Those who know better can come and challenge or confirm what I'm saying, because if that is true, we need to deal with that. We lay down and take too much in this country. We need to deal with that. Now, there's so many other things that I can talk about, but remember, this is a call-in program and not a Corey Lane talk show. So 6 minutes after 10, this is Down to Brass Tacks. The numbers remain the same, I understand. 434-1790 or WhatsApp 266-4862, 266-IVOB. This is Corey Lane and this is Down to Brass Tacks. Let's go to the telephone lines and say good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning to everyone, Corey Lane.
And good morning to you too, sir. you're the best first call I can have today, and you'll find out way before any call, but you go ahead.
I'm going to be the best.
You're one of the best, and I'm going to tell you what. You go ahead.
Thanks in advance, but let me hear something to say. Yesterday, there was a discussion about the banks. Mm-hmm. I gave a lady a ride, and she was talking about how to take out the money indiscriminately. Every month is $5 taken off. You're not informed. They do is like, and Mr. Wickham yesterday alluded to that by saying they're doing just as they like. Now, let me hear something to say to you, Mr. Corey, that I've made this point here recently, and I'm going to emphasize on it particularly. The people, they've got the power. People and numbers. And we were very clear that this is a fact. I can't understand. And you've highlighted a bit of it there just now about the people take the money out and whatever. People need to start to understand that within themselves, there's a lot of power. And not power stupidly, but power that they can be assertive and band together and attain what they necessarily want to attain. They need to start to be educated in this way to understand that they stand and band together, and then persons cannot run roughshod over them as they think they can. This is where the problem with this banking and thing is, it's about the people. Every people threaten to or boycott, take out the monies.
Mm-hmm. I don't want no threat. And I think that what you said, I don't want a threat. I want it done right. And I'm not being unreasonable.
Cross you up, Ali, now again, and asking your permission. Cross you up. I will be the first to do it.
But we need it. I don't know if the other islands coordinate.
I feel you know that much about me.
But you see, if you do it and the others don't do it, they don't care. They tell you, we'll take your money and go along. No. And again, bankers, I had the privilege of speaking to a managing director of a bank. So I understand the bank side. But there's a part, how far is too far? Because you're talking about $5. Yesterday was sent photos of people having $10 taken out for every $1,000 deposited. So for every $1,000 you deposit, that person lost, like, I think it was $183, because it was a dollar for over the counter, $10 for every $1,000. And the fees just go on and on. And then there's a monthly fee and so on. You're paying so much to do banking at those banks. I'm glad to see in the Daily Nation today that we have a case where the credit unions are saying, no, we are not increasing any user fees. So there people have an option. Now, I understand that the credit union is somewhat limited
because of
certain things. And we need to correct that if we need to correct that.
Hear you.
But what I'm saying is, I saw the other islands. I think it was St. Lucia. When they started the fees, those people, and I don't know if anyone coordinated that or if that's just their culture. But where we are concerned, we just say, well, look, I can be the first. I can do it. Mm-hmm. And
but when you're saying this, exclude me here.
Right. But listen, I think that if we have to coordinate it, we will coordinate it. And the banks need not get angry, because I said in my opening that if it is a case where they don't meet us halfway. So if you get immediately angry, it means you have no plans of meeting us halfway.
Right.
You understand? And the thing is, where you are concerned, we talked about the consumer body. There's a number that I I give Pat Vang to collect some names and numbers. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to follow up with them.
You need to know.
There was a prominent guy who actually would have volunteered to cheer it and bring it together, because every fight I cannot take on. I will not make it into my 40s.
I understand that.
So I really was hoping that someone would take this and run with it. I'm not running away from it. The plate is full and overflowing. So therefore, I'm calling our Barbadians. This is for you. You know what I'm saying? I am one that I feel I could keep my money in my safe, and I could be safe that way, but I don't think that it must be, must be done at a micro level. I think that at the macro level, we have got to address this, and somebody has to be out there to marshal us, to bring us together, to unite us on causes like this. It can be a one man protest here, and a one man take off money there, and a one woman. It can go that way.
It won't be unified properly. But two things quickly. You know, we've got the case in Barbados where a lawyer, there's a matter currently in the court which will be deemed sub judice, that this lawyer is pursuing his $5 in the law courts. You remember that one?
They're still
in the judiciary thing. And I don't know. People are going to only... I don't know what to say. I don't know. Look, we've been lacking in Barbados, particularly in the area of consumerism. When it comes to consumer matters, we think about hideaway and all kind of foolishness. Nobody wants to stand up and say, look, this is what it is. I'm not paying so-and-so when this is outrageous. And everybody follows suit in line. Mm-hmm. You made the point just now about if it's the one person, if it was the culture of the country, they had those long lines when they had the banking thing mm-hmm. in those islands. But I think it might be more culture, because the amount of people they saw in those lines, I mean, but closing here.
And the thing is, in one of those cases, I understand they reverse the fees. So it says, and the thing is, we are not unreasonable. I don't want Barbadians to believe that we must get everything free or low cost. If the cost of cybersecurity has increased, if there is a decline in investment opportunities and so on, I understand that. But there's a point where you got to understand that we, the people, we suffer too as well. We are not like these conglomerates and governments who can say, listen, things tough, so take a haircut here. Things tough, so do this. When we can't go to Barbados Water Authority and like, say, look, things tough, right? I can give you a haircut and we're paying you. You understand? You're like cut off. You understand? So my thing is, we got to be reasonable on both sides.
Final comment. Where do we go from here, Mr. Corey? I need to hear from you expeditiously. Where do we go from here? Thanks for your effort, sir.
All right, thank you. Where we go from here is I think we need to get that strong consumer body group going, or I think that we just need to sit down and suck salt and call it a day. Down the Brass Stacks, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Same old soup. You just warm
up. Over. Thought to me. Yes, sir.
I just want to speak to you about two topics this morning. First, I can fly from Barbados all the way to Southeast Asia in South Korea. Then I'm going to come back home to Barbados. Just two quick points. Now, I want to start off by commending... Well, first of all, let me extend my sympathies in advance to the persons who may be directly or indirectly affected by the BERT exercise that's ongoing in terms of job losses. I don't wish to comment any further and talk about BLP, DLP, efficiency or anything. Simply recognize the fact that persons may be put at a disadvantage, and I really want to extend my sympathies to them. I leave the further detailed discussion to other persons as well. So let me fly out to Asia now. In acknowledging the minister in the Ministry of Economic Affairs and Finance, I believe this is the Honorable Marsha Kell, and I want to commend her for signing the readiness agreement with the Green Climate Fund the other day. It was very much highly publicized in the news and stuff. But what I also want to say, not necessarily only to her, but to other persons who may be listening and would have the capacity to impact the subsequent decisions, is that the real issue with funds like that is not accessing the funds, you know. The real issue is the implementation in your home country. So we may go and get $45 million or how much ever $1 million from these international agencies via grants. And then when it comes to implementing here in Barbados, the issue is really the capacity to implement. So I just want to put us on note in terms of knowing that we need to work on capacity issues in terms of implementation in Barbados for us to even have subsequent success in accessing some of these same funds. One thing I'll note.
I want to support you on that before you move on, because so from time to time you see these call for proposals, and there are millions and millions of dollars. And I always wonder why the civil society in union with government don't go after them a lot more, because some of these grants are as large as loans that we take.
Yeah.
And do you understand the difference between a grant and a loan? It means that taxpayers don't have to pay back that money. But I understand you have to have your reporting, you have to be implementing on time and so on. So I think that that is something that we should definitely pursue.
And further to that, Corey, as well, I think what the ministry, the NDA, which is the Ministry of Finance, what they should do after accessing the readiness grant, because the readiness grant is not necessarily anything that's going to have any significant influx of cash relative to other projects. Readiness grant is basically a grant to allow there to be better communication between the GCF and the country. So you're going to do your national adaptation plans as well, which I must acknowledge Grenada for being the first country in 2017 in November for doing. But you get to do your national adaptation plan. You get to put infrastructures in place in different government organizations so that they can more easily communicate with the GCF. But what I want the persons that have the capacity to do after we do the readiness is to run full speed ahead and establish a national implementing entity. And this is where we could possibly have some savings as well. Because do you imagine, we have a current project with the Barbados Water Authority, which is being co-implemented by 5Cs. And 5Cs being a very reputable entity, very capable and stuff, what happens is that when the GCF sends the funds, it goes through the 5Cs, or even if part comes to Barbados, but part goes to 5Cs, and they get their general management or implementation fee. Sometimes in the international development arena, these fees can run from between 5 to 10%. Now, imagine you're getting a $45 million grant, and worst-case scenario, the implementing entity is getting 10% of that. That means automatically $4.5 million is actually not going to be accessible to you. Now, if we had our own national implementing entity and a recognition of the particular skills that we brought in implementing the project, and the skills aren't anything like rocket science, so don't let me talk over people's head. The skills that you're looking for national implementing entity is very simple. You have to have the procurement capacity, looking at your financial and accounting records, you're looking at your recruitment policies, and just to ensure that you're aligned with the international standards such as IPSA, the International Public Service Accounting Standards. Very, very big words, but very simple processes that may take a lengthy period of time. But the long and short of it, Corey, is that if we have our own national implementing entity, then that means that the GCF could send the funds directly to Barbados, and we can directly implement, and then we can not take a cut, but then we can have a proportion that represents the general management services off of that, and that proportion that we keep could then service jobs in Barbados as well, whether it be a project implementation unit. So I just want to make that call to the Ministry of Finance to ensure that they can put the subsequent arrangements in place after they have utilized the resources from the readiness grant that was signed off on the other day.
I want to make connection to the people as well. I appreciate you for breaking it down so that more people could understand. And what I like to do is to link it to the person listening. So when you talk about GEF and grants and so on, people say, oh, $100 million from government or $100 million from GEF is $100 million. Nope. The $100 million grant means that the government does not have to look for $100 million from taxes from you. So that's less taxes on you. And then there's the effect of the implementation. So if you're talking something like the same disaster reduction, it means that Barbados is in a better position to respond to disaster, to environmental effects and so on. So that is a double good for you. So I just want to link that to the persons listening.
So Corey, if I, with your permission, if you can fly back to Barbados, no. Because we had some weather last night. It's still a bit of it going on right now. And it would be a good time to talk about climate change, in particular our response to natural disasters. So we know the natural process of things, and I'm going to engage you directly, Corey, so that we can run an analogy here. Let's say there's a disaster going on inside the community. We see the usual bulletins coming across the news and stuff. Persons, like the day before, may run to the supermarket and stuff, get the stuff and put it up. But then there's a scenario where there's significant damage in a community, and the natural processes that exist within, let's say, the Department of Emergency Management and the Red Cross and stuff, they start churning and doing their natural thing. Remember back in 2017, we had an instance in Parish Land, and I sat and I observed it, and I told myself that the way how we respond to these natural disasters is inefficient, significantly inefficient. So what happens is that the Department of Emergency Management, or through their community organizations, would come around and do their building damage assessment and different types of assessment to collect the data, which would then inform them in terms of how much resources to mobilize. That in itself, Corey, looking from the outside may seem a bit speedy to persons, is not speedy enough. What my proposal is to the persons that may be in an earshot, or even the government, is to create a community disaster response mechanism. Now imagine, Corey, if I were the government and you live in a community, let's say a parish land, and I told you I'm going to occupy, can I occupy part of the land space that you have that is the equivalent of, let's say, a 20-foot container? And on that particular part of the land space, I'm going to allow the storage of wood, maybe some galvanized and stuff, and let's say a dignity kit, which is for more for females as well, but just basic supplies and, you know, non-perishables. And I'm going to put in place a monitoring mechanism so that every 3 months or so, you know, officer will come around just to make sure that the items are still there within the same quantities. Mm-hmm. And for you, the person who allows me to utilize your land, I'm going to give you a discount or a waiver in terms of the land tax that you pay. And also, I'm going to put some infrastructural work in place to ensure that the building is intact in case of a natural disaster. So when a natural disaster hits your parish land community, Corey, then you would be a person to whom the other persons who have skills in community could actually come to obtain things, basic building materials like wood and galvanized and stuff, and start that process even before the Red Cross and others come through the community and start doing their assessments. Because the assessments is nothing that necessarily impacts the people right away, you know. And I think that's a shortfall. We need something that is more urgent and something that is way more responsive than what we have now. So that is my pitch in terms of having a community disaster response mechanism. In terms of expensive, it is not as expensive as it may sound. When you think about the potential benefit of getting persons back into the households and giving them shelter in a more rapid pace than the organization that exists can do, I think the benefits are significantly outstripping the expenses. So I just want to floor it out to you to see if you would be willing to allot me some of your land space. I know you probably have a lot, over 10 acres, to facilitate a program such as that.
Mercy me. Anything for the productive use that can benefit Barbados, I think I and others would be willing to assist with. I mean, listening to you sound like you should be on the consultant role of government. Listen, you're always clear, always. No, I'm serious. You should go some consultant, because I think that we waste a lot of time. We have some people, and this is no direction or anybody, but we got some people that in these positions that do just talk a lot, you understand? But then when you have other persons on the outside, you listen to them here and have great ideas. I've seen some mini projects or pilots that they've implemented, and I always wonder why we can't, for the better of Barbados, put some wrong pegs in some wrong holes and some square pegs in square holes. And I find that we always have it the other way around, and I hope to benefit the country.
I really hope so as well.
Anyhow, thanks for calling. Thanks for taking the time and sharing with us. This is Down to Brass Stats. Down to Brass Stats. Good morning. I'll take a WhatsApp or two. We come back to the lines. This one says, let's try and open our own bank. Well, I'm open for discussion there. This one says, re-banking fees. Kadir Corey, Bajans are not going to close bank accounts. We're creatures of habit and no guts. I'll later prove you wrong. This one says, your drop calls are a result of the carrier not upgrading the infrastructure but asking for more money all the time. The regulators are to blame. I want to hear from the regulators, though. This is a call, APB, for regulators. Is this true? Your silence is confirmation. Brass Stats, good morning.
Morning, Corey.
Good morning to you.
Welcome back from Rarely Event.
Thank you very much.
And how is the family, especially the little ones?
They are fine. You know what? The little ones good, the big ones got to be good. Simple as that. You will know that.
Then again, if they weren't good, you won't be there.
Correct.
Yeah. Before I go on to my main point, there are two callers I want to respond to. Yesterday, I said,
you mean respond and bring like ideas or something for them or something?
You hold on.
I it depends, though, because I about this respond a call, I think. You know what, RP?
Hold on. I can be short.
Bro. Okay, go ahead. Run through. Boy, your ball.
I heard a call and response from me so that we're dependent off the crime rate is not going to go up. I don't know which world he live in. But I got plane yesterday. Now, a mom might say I would never do this or I might never do that, but there comes a time you have a choice. Either do what you see one do or die. Right? The next thing is Mr. State Striker's penitentiary. I can hear him as from yesterday or whatever it was he made his statement because I am deaf. The Democratic Labour Party was soundly beaten. They were crucified. And for him to come on the radio and talk about who performed best, all of them were beaten, my man. Wake up. The election gone. It done. And I hope that they're gone too.
You and I sit in the same boat in relation to this back and forth party debate. And I would like to send a warning to all of the party faithful, right? Allow me to do it on your time, Mr. P. I'll give you back the time if you so desire.
No problem.
I observed from the last election, I look at the numbers, and one of the things that I discern is the fact that both parties enjoy, and some of the the political scientists and so on, about 20% or less of the voting public. So obviously the independents, they don't so, they don't know, they won't say and so on. Obviously they went all in one direction. Now what I'm finding is that the commentary from the party supporters of either side can actually cause those independents then to make up the mind whether they would repeat again. And by that what I mean is, and I'll make it more succinct, right? Is that I find that on one side you have one party bragging and making excuses and so on, which in some cases very insensitive, and then in the other side they're making excuses for the indefensible. So I would just warn the very party faithful that are not thinking to think a little bit more. Back over to you, P.
Yeah, and the way these people speak, it clearly shows that they are not interested in the people or the country. They are just satisfied to stay in my party in office. Right? Now, I am not a supporter of either party. There was a time I used to support the Democratic Party, but because of the foolishness they did, I stopped. And I said it openly. I have also said numerous things. I am not going to pray for this government to fail, because if the government fails, we fail as a people. If they do anything that deserves credit, I will give them. If they do anything that deserves criticism, I will give it to them, and I won't dare take it any way in which it was given to be constructive. Mm-hmm. Right? I feel for people like this, Sherika Tenetry. I really feel for them. What he should be doing is try to bring some solutions to the problems that they create, because they created it. This Sunday we like to say, but you know, it ain't gonna go. Anybody that's responsible for anything that's wrong should be punished. And I hope that they get punished. And we're gonna further on that.
Okay.
So my own thing, you know, people talk about solutions. I have come with solutions to some of the problems. Other quarters have come. My question is, I know that people in positions who can do something monitor these calling programs. I know that for a fact. I know it. I feel I know. I would like to know what have been the achievements of Transport Board as far as marketing and operations is concerned. I'm talking about celebrating 150th anniversary. I want to know. Now, the people at Draxwell, apparently, because I decided to check in with them yesterday to see what's going on. Because when I went up there, they had two minibuses put on the road. Since then, one was written off. One is not doing so well mechanically. So the problems now that was there before is there again. I had offered a solution to that drop ball thing, and it's this. The college Savannah and Society buses should be allowed to traverse, not only get there by mill.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with by mill?
Yes, I am.
Right. From there, it's bare uphill, long, lonely stretches of road. This is very dangerous to anyone to walk, especially at night. Those two buses, or even one, should be allowed to divert and go to that area and back. To make it easier, the first stop coming from Bridgestone on the way to its destination, the first stop for anybody to disembark should be Charo Bridge. The reason they say that, they've got people who catch the those buses who get off in Queensway Road, Fairfield, Malorso, who have access to other buses. That could be a solution to one of the problems. Right? But it seems to me that there are people who, because they never come over, I don't care now about credit, you know me, Corey, I just like to see things getting done. And they always come and talk on the interests of the people, not in interest of me.
I think one of the things that we can do is do this in a more formal fashion. And when I say that, there's I think he's an uncle to our very own Graham here. Good morning, Graham. I understand you're on the mend. I'm going to reach out, so let me reach out here now and hope you're having a fantastic day. His uncle actually has a whole transportation plan and wanted to pull together some people. We do a show on it. We present it to the powers that be face-to-face and get their comments on it in a few weeks after they've given time to digest it. It's talking about digitizing the whole transport system. I mean, it is a well-prepared document. It may need some upgrading because he tried to propose it to the last administration a few years ago. Things would have changed a little bit, but I think with a bit of tweaking, we can actually make some of your recommendations, more formal. See if we can get some of them implemented. Real talk. All right. Thank you, Mr. P. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning to you.
Corey, my love.
Yes, please.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
And your wife, you wouldn't get jealous of this old girl.
I hope not. Remember, I think she's a customer, but you know.
With all these old girls loving you.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. I have not been listening to this program very much lately, but for some reason, I was listening yesterday by chance. And what day was Mr. Wakeham on?
Tuesday. That's yesterday.
Yes, yesterday. Anyhow, I thought he was on today again. Then when I found out, it was just, oh, that's my baby. Now, I'm hearing complaints. And it's like, we have to understand. People are complaining about job losses. They complain about this. They complain about that. The people of Barbados have put the government in power. They've given them a landslide. I was not here for elections. I was out of the island. I'm leaving again soon today, this evening. And I'm an outsider looking on, observing. I've been living here for 42 years, and I observe everything that goes on. The government has to do what they have to do. And out of this, all these austerity measures that have to be put on people, it can turn out for the good of many. The people that are being sent home, I came from a country where we dealt with austerity, and it has made so many entrepreneurs. We have now 50% of the nation are entrepreneurs. Everybody, some of them become millionaires out of the austerity measures. Because what it does, when you go home, it brings out your creative juices. And if we are willing to work hard, to put our hands to the plow, we have to stop this thing of sitting down and wanting to be employed by the government, employed by corporate Barbados. We have to learn.
We don't change that overnight, you know. It's a culture. A culture that's been embedded in us from primary school. Go to school, get a good education so you can get a good job.
Because it's coming
drilled
from another,
into us.
Listen, I have all my kids are Barbadians. And you want me to tell you something? Both of my sons are self-employed and doing very well, praise God.
I think, though, we still have to consider both sides of it, because I think it is a bit insensitive to say to people who've been employed all their life, who've only known about being employed.
It happened in other countries.
So what? Each individual has their own feeling. So to say it happened in Timbuktu or Tonga does not mean squat to the person there in St. Patrick's.
I understand all of this, but we have to stop the fretting, the complaining, and give thanks, because people don't seem to be looking at the world news outside.
But some people can cry hypocrisy, because we were complaining and griping on this thing before May 21st. So all the complaining and griping can't stop automatically May 25th, 26th. So you have to allow people that opportunity to vent still.
Corey, but complaining or fretting doesn't help anyone.
But did we tell that to people?
It gives you
5-6 months ago.
And you realize we have a lot.
No, I think if you can do it constructively to get people to understand, hey, you're pinching me, it hurting, and it can ease up that perch.
I like the last caller. There's a guy speaking to you. Mm-hmm. He is so intelligent. He was explaining things to people, and he was trying to, you know, and we got a really.
Yeah, he is. He top shelf, man.
regardless of what, there's still a lot of things in Barbados that we can be very thankful for.
No, that I can agree. I think that we got to count our blessings. Even the persons who feel in the pinch, we got to be able to hold their hand as they readjust.
See what's going on. We have a lot here to be thankful for. A lot.
I agree with you, but I just want people not to be insensitive. So, oh, you could go home and do this, and you could go home and do that, and when somebody go home, this can happen. No, bunch of foolishness. I think that we have to be considerate, okay? We got to understand that losing your job and losing our security will make people uneasy. But I think that there are ways that we can handle it in such a way, and I'm glad that the government has looked at ways in how they can accommodate people. They've looked at ways how to incorporate counseling, because that's something that we forget. We think that you're dealing with an old printer that you're trying outside. No, you're dealing with a human being. Yeah. So I am glad that we are incorporating all those things.
I think it's going to bring something good out of it all. At the end of the day, it may seem hard in the beginning. It will be hard.
I believe so, too. I think we were told that we were seeing light at the end of the tunnel, and every time we peeped our heads, it was the light of a freight train. But I hope that this light now is the sunlight that we see.
We might get some real businesswomen and businessmen out of this.
I believe so, too. I believe we can. I believe we're going to be okay. Barbados is going to return to the top, and it is in all of our interests.
And we have to get there. We have to give the new administration a chance to do their best. I mean, to be honest with you, Corey, I am anti-politicians. I really am not the fan of any politician. And this is for the entire Caribbean, because sometimes I want to know where our real smart men and women are, because a lot of people don't want to take on the role.
I'm told they're in the private sector.
But you understand, the real people who knows how to get things done don't want to take on.
A lot of those people get sidelined too,
politics.
Because politics is about family and friends a lot.
Exactly,
most of the time,
and the real people who really, you see the word that man was using all the time, solutions. I love that word. Mm-hmm. We really need a group of women and men that can really bring solutions to the entire Caribbean. Because when these old politicians and seasoned politicians get the sweetness of power, a lot of them don't want to give up. And this lawlessness that we have in prime ministers for 25 years and 20 years, I think we need to have that change. Nobody shouldn't be in no power for more than 2 terms. This, like Gonzalez and all these people, Michelle and all them old men, they can be prime minister forever. I find it sickening to me.
In principle, I agree with you, but at the end of the day, you know that the people of those countries make that decision.
But you know what? That's why we West Indians, we Caribbean people as a bunch of
It also has to do with what are the choices. But anyhow, we gotta go. It's 12 minutes before 11.
Yes,
I'm told
darling.
I have to take a break. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day, and thanks for calling.
Be blessed.
You too as well. This is Down to Brass Stacks.